The political campaign season is revving up, and with it, a fight over Proposition 13. California voters passed the landmark ballot initiative more than 30 years ago. It caps increases in property taxes in the state and reassesses properties at their market value only when they're sold. But a measure on this fall's ballot called Prop 15 would roll that back for commercial properties in an effort to raise more money for schools and other programs. All of this got commentator Joe Matthews thinking about the impact that Prop 13 has had on California, its finances, and its well-being. So he decided to take a pilgrimage to where this tax revolution began. He explains in this edition of Zoclo's Connecting California.
I went to the house at 515 North Crescent Heights Boulevard in Los Angeles, which was the home of Howard Jarvis, the late anti-tax activist. It was not just his home, but his living room was sort of the place where Prop 13 was organized and where he met dignitaries. Governor Brown was a frequent guest and visitor during his first sort of two terms as governor back in the 70s.
And what did you find at Howard Jarvis's home? You know, I don't know, a little plaque maybe from a libertarian group commemorating the great things that happened there, what?
No, I found Nichen Dharma Pala, the Tibetan Buddhist Center of Los Angeles,
really?
Which has owned and occupied the home since 2013. The living room where Jarvis held court and fashioned Prop 13 is now sort of the gathering space for the center. It's got Buddhist shrine, Buddhas. There are also two monks, administrator, resident scholar who are living there.
What is the center's mission?
Non-sectarian, as they say, but it kind of teaching and study and practice of Buddhism. It's Tibetan Buddhism. The Nichung ties to a famous monastery just outside Lhasa that is actually technically the home of the state oracle of Tibet.
This sounds like a real culture clash with Howard Jarvis. Did the monks even know who Jarvis was?
They did not. But I must say that while the clash might be obvious between a conservative anti-tax activist who famous for yelling, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore, versus folks who are teaching on the benefits of enlightenment, the wisdom of emptiness, maybe I've meditated perhaps too long there, but I started to see continuities.
You sort of see connections. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Between Howard Jarvis and the sort of anti-tax revolution of the 1970s and Tibetan Buddhism?
Yeah. There's a sort of paradox of protection in both. You know, the Jarvis and the Prop 13 were all about protecting you. That was the argument. We were protecting you against the government, against taxation, and particularly against property taxes that would displace you from your home. The Tibetan Buddhist Center has this connection to the deity, the protective deity, Pehar, as well. But, you know, in the case of Prop 13, despite all this protection against taxes and protection for your home, we have incredibly high taxes in California, right? And we have home prices that make it very hard to stay here. So protection has its limits. And, you know, Pehar was supposed to protect religion, but of course it didn't protect the Nichen Monastery, which, like a lot of religious shrines, institutions in Tibet, were destroyed by the Chinese communists. The paradox there is that destruction actually spread the teachings and religion all over the world as Tibetan Buddhists moved out all over the world, arriving as far away as Howard Jarvis's house.
Joe, I got to say, I appreciate the intellectual rigor of trying to weave these two things together, but I got to say, it seems to me like they have that there's a bigger contrast than there is a commonality. I mean, you got, on one hand, you know, political populism, sort of more power to the people, and on the other hand, a religion that focuses sort of on overcoming struggle and suffering and being at peace.
Yes, I mean, you make a fine point, but both involve California real estate. You know, I found some guidance for the questions of Prop 13 that are being raised now by Prop 15, which is a measure which would alter Prop 13 as it relates to certain kinds of commercial property taxes, and joined some of the lessons by Zoom and Facebook that the center is offering this summer during the pandemic. And they go to a 14th century Tibetan Buddhist teacher on the text of the three principal aspects of the path. And I just want to give this to you, which is that Furthermore, when appearance dispels the extreme of existence, and when emptiness dispels the extreme of non-existence, and if you understand how emptiness arises as cause and effect, you will never be captivated by views grasping at extremes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's almost a sort of, to me, a cultivation of uncertainty. And I'm uncertain about Prop 15. I mean, will it actually buy a few $1 billion more for schools, or will it just hurt businesses? And might the measure be a symbolic strike against Prop 13, which, as you know, I've been quite critical of? Or will it actually, by only changing a small part, really embed Prop 13's, you know, power over us, over our taxation and budgeting even more? I don't know. I'm uncertain. But what I learned at Howard Jarvis's house from the lessons of the Tibetan Buddhists is that my uncertainty is a very worthy answer, and that I should cultivate it more, because we don't even know if we're really here. And I find a small bit of peace of that in a time where it's hard to find peace.
Joe Matthews is a syndicated columnist with Zocalo Public Square. He'll be back next week.